Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. Many of you can't make it there at 9 o'clock or make it to Rancho Cucamonga, but you can always join us on our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, worship with us, chat, pray, read the scriptures. We want you to grow in grace and come to know the love of God and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We've been working in the upper room, looking at the last words of Christ, and I'm going to ask you to put yourself in the story of the first week of the resurrection. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, then Jesus appears to Cleopas and his fellow traveler on the road to Emmaus. Later, that first night of the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples gathered in the upper room. Jesus walked through the locked doors and he said, "Peace be with you." Not once, but twice. Jesus surely wanted their hearts and minds to have peace. Who listening today needs peace? We all need peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace and he always brings peace. Remember that. Jesus always brings peace. No matter the situation, the day, the hour, when Jesus Christ comes to us, there is great peace. When Jesus came and appeared to the disciples in the locked upper room, he did something truly amazing that forever transformed the lives of all of his followers. Listen to how John recorded it in John chapter 20, 21, and 22. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John 20, 21, and 22. Jesus invited them into a holy dance with the Holy Spirit by breathing on them. Jesus told them to receive, the Greek word is lambano, meaning to come into possession of the Holy Spirit. This sure sounds like the opening of the Bible when God is creating the heavens and the earth. Then God creates man and woman by breathing life into their bodies made out of the dust of the earth. Listen to Genesis 2:7. "The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Well, it's my prayer today as we go back to the upper room. We've been doing this upper room discourse, upper room teaching, lessons from the upper room. As we go back to the upper room before the resurrection, we will see and hear the promise of the resurrection, even before the resurrection takes place. During those times, during the last 7 weeks, we've been looking at the upper room teachings of Jesus before he went to the cross. Now we pick up where we left off. Here we come to the Lord's living word. Let us come to our living, risen Christ. Let us come in a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, you have risen from the dead. Now come and live in our hearts. Help us find true peace in you and through you. Breathe on us and fill us once again with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your almighty name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're in John chapter 14, 15 through 31. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we have a couple in the church that bought one-year Bibles. We would gladly give you a Bible. You can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship, and we will mail you a Bible. John 14, 15 to 31. "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Well, you know, there's an old ancient prayer of the church that has been prayed throughout the centuries. It's called the Holy Spirit Prayer. And it goes like this. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. When we read John 20:22, where Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, Receive the Holy Spirit, then we come to Pentecost, and it's 50 days after the resurrection, and we read Acts 2, the disciples and the company were gathered in the upper room, and the disciples welcomed and experienced the power of the Holy Spirit filling them in the upper room. Sometime, in the early 200s, an early church father by the name of Hippolytus was attributed with writing a prayer for the early believers that had them welcoming the Holy Spirit to move with the words, And we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit. That's what he prayed. And we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit. Well, around the 800s, a Benedictine monk wrote a song equipping the church to sing the prayer, Come, Holy Spirit, Creator, come. Later in the early church, around the 1200s, the prayer, Come, Holy Spirit, was written as a Latin worship poem called the Veni Sancte Spiritus. This prayer took on central place in the worship of the Western Church. A very interesting note is that on Mother's Day in 1980, in a Vineyard congregation in California where John Wimber pastored, the prayer, Come Holy Spirit, took its place in the life of a Holy Spirit movement that has impacted the world with its radical risk-taking commitment to the Holy Spirit ministry in the local church. So what? Why is the Holy Spirit so important? That's the question for today. Why is the Holy Spirit so important? I believe that the Holy Spirit brings us the power and the presence of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Ryan Chapel, a pastor and teacher, shared a story that illustrates knowing God's peace. Chapel spoke on a Sunday in the church of a pastor who was an old friend and a lifetime fan of the Chicago Bulls. It happened that on the Sunday, the Bulls were competing in the NBA playoffs for the berth in the finals. Chapel had a church friend who was beside himself with excitement and high hopes, but his friend was also very conscientious. Instead of watching the scheduled game, he videotaped it so he would help at church. Then when all the service was over, Brian and his friends unwound by watching the delayed version of the game. In the game's early stages, the Bulls were playing terribly and getting smeared. Chicago was down by 20 points in the first half. Brian was amazed at the lack of anxiety expressed by his fanatical friend. His friend didn't get upset. He didn't hang his head. He didn't yell at the coach. "What's with you?" Chapel asked his friend. "Aren't you concerned about the outcome of this game?" "Not a bit," his friend replied. "One of the fellows at church today watched the game earlier, and he told me the Bulls pulled it out in the fourth quarter." Wow, that is what Jesus is doing to his disciples. He's telling them the results of the game before they even watch or enter into it. Jesus already knows the outcome of the game, and he's in the upper room the very night he will be betrayed and arrested. Jesus is not frantic or worried or concerned. Jesus knows the final outcome. The outcome is that Jesus wins, and we are given peace. I have to tell you, the topic of the Holy Spirit is one of my favorite topics to study and talk about. My wife would tell you that I have way too many books. Many of my books are on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures have a lot to say about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, so let's get started. Jesus has gathered the disciples in the upper room. Jesus has washed their feet, and they have shared the Passover meal together. Jesus has given them a new mandate, love one another. Jesus has told them that he's going to be betrayed and handed over to be crucified. In this upper room teaching, Jesus leaves a legacy for his followers. A legacy is an inheritance. You could say that this last upper room teaching is Jesus' last will and testament. Let's get to the resurrection promise in John 14:16. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, advocate, to be with you forever." John 14:16. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. Write your prayer. Listen, if you have a question about the messages or just a prayer concern, you can always email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We're looking at the resurrection promise in John 14:16. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, advocate, to be with you forever." What a powerful promise, Jesus says. "I will ask the Father." What a personal relationship Jesus has with his Father. "And then he will give you another counselor or advocate to be with you forever." What is so fascinating about this promise is are the two Greek words used for another counselor or advocate. In the Greek, there are two words for the word another. They are allos and heteros. Allos in Greek means the same or identical, and heteros means similar or like, but not identical. When Jesus asks his Father and our Father for another counselor, comforter, or advocate, the word Jesus uses is allos. In essence, Jesus is saying, "I will ask the Father to send my identical twin, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever." Whoa, we better take a couple Tylenol or aspirins or lay down. I don't know. What an amazing promise. Jesus is leaving planet Earth, but he will leave his identical twin to be our advocate, our comforter, our counselor. Can you picture that? Can you put yourself in the upper room? We are in the upper room. Our feet are clean, our bellies are full, and our favorite scholar and teacher, rabbi, is giving his final instructions. "Don't be afraid. My identical twin is coming, and he will be with you forever." Are you there with me in the upper room? Can you put yourself in the story? What I really want to talk about today is the resurrection peace is a resurrection promise. I asked earlier, does anyone here need peace? Have the troubles of the world overwhelmed you? Have the trials of broken relationships filled your home and heart? Has the stress of uncertain financial times squeezed the life out of you? Has your work or lack of work consumed you? Have the worries and fears of the future frozen you solid in your tracks? Has your health been costing you your wealth? Do you want peace? Do you want peace with God? Do you want the peace of God? Do you want peace with others? I sure do. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and the Greek word is eirene. In the biblical sense, the meaning of peace is so much more than the absence of conflict or war. The meaning of peace has such a broad meaning biblically. It means wholeness or completeness, fullness, well-being, good fortune, well, and even national prosperity. Who here would like some resurrection peace, some wholeness, some completeness, some fullness, some well-being, good fortune, and even national prosperity? In John 14, Jesus is leaving his followers a legacy, and that legacy is peace. In the beginning of the chapter, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." We talked about that last week. You can go to the podcast on that. Then at the close of the chapter, he says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid." John 14, 26 and 27. Jesus's legacy is peace. Peace I leave with you. What a powerful promise. What a wonderful declaration. What a reassuring word, peace. What Jesus is saying is that even though I have to go, I will leave you my peace. My peace will come in the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, my identical twin. Harry Ironside, pastor of a church in Philadelphia, used to tell a story that illustrated having peace with God. At the close of the Civil War, a group of federal cavalry were riding along a road between Richmond, Virginia and Washington, D.C. Suddenly, they saw a poor wretch of a soldier clothed in ragged remnants of the Confederate uniform. Coming out of the bushes, he called to the captain of the cavalry unit, who drew in and waited for him. "Can you help me?" the soldier called out. "I'm starving to death. Can you give me some food?" "I'm starving to death." And he said it again. He said, "I'm starving to death." The captain said, "Starving to death? Why don't you just go into Richmond and get what you need?" The soldier explained, "I don't dare go into Richmond because if I did, I would be arrested. 3 weeks ago, I became so discouraged because of our losses that I deserted from the Southern Cavalry. I've been hiding in the woods ever since, gradually making my way north, hoping to find a chance to break through federal lines. If I could be caught by the Southern soldiers, I'd be shot for deserting the army in the time of war." The captain asked, "Haven't you heard the news? The war is over. Peace has been made. General Lee surrendered to General Grant at Appomattox over 2 weeks ago. The Confederacy is ended." "What?" said the soldier. "Peace has been made for 2 weeks, and I've been starving in the woods because I didn't know?" Friends, peace with God was settled over 2,000 years ago. Not at Appomattox, where Lee surrendered to Grant, but at Golgotha, where Christ surrendered of the cross. When we have peace with God, we have a deep reservoir of peace within us in which we should tap and can tap into. It's an artesian well of peace that will never run dry. Peace is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:20-22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Paul tells us that peace comes from the good news, the gospel, and that this peace transcends all of our understanding, Ephesians 6:15, Philippians 4:7. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." That is, I will give you the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the teacher, the encourager, to help you live this life in this world. Peace of God is the peace that transcends all of our understanding. The peace of God allows us to live in the midst of the storms raging around us. The peace of God helps us overcome our fears of financial collapse or worries of health. The peace of God gives us the strength to overcome obstacles at work, school, or family situations. The peace of God gives us the power to forgive someone who has hurt or rejected us or sinned against us. This past week, I met with someone and we were talking about having the peace of God. The person said that the peace of God allowed her to walk back into the very place where she had been hurt and rejected. The peace of God gave her the strength to overcome. The peace of God transcends all of her understanding. Remember the original meaning of peace? We talked about it, shalom. Wholeness, completeness, fullness, well-being, good fortune, and national prosperity. The peace of God allowed my friend to walk back into the very place, well, where she had been wounded. Friends, are you looking for peace? Have you found peace? For the Greek culture, the word parakletos was always called on for one thing and one thing only, to help. Are you looking for help? I have another friend who described the power of the Holy Spirit like this. I am naturally afraid, he said. I don't want to walk back into my old places of woundedness. To me, it feels like standing nose to nose with a fan blade. In my natural self, I could never find the courage to do that. But with the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit, I can, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's Philippians 4:13, friends. It is the Holy Spirit within me. It's the Holy Spirit who transforms us. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us. When we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we are baptized, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ever watch the city seal a street pavement with tar? Ever lick an envelope shut and seal it with your letter? Back in the day, they used to melt wax and seal their important documents. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Why not learn to count on that? Turn to the Holy Spirit who lives in you and in Jesus. I'm Holy Spirit. Are you looking for help? The world gives us heartache. The Holy Spirit gives us hope. The world gives us hurts. The Holy Spirit gives us healing. The world gives us confusion. The Holy Spirit gives us comfort. The world gives us chaos. The Holy Spirit gives us calm. The world gives us fear. The Holy Spirit gives us faith. The world gives us trials. The Holy Spirit gives us truth. The world gives us troubles. The Holy Spirit gives us trust. The world gives us grief. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. The world gives us pain, and the Holy Spirit gives us peace. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He's not called the Prince of Hope, though that would be appropriate. He's not called the Prince of Love, though that would fit him. He's not called the Prince of Faith, though that would be it wouldn't be out of place. He is called the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And don't let them be afraid." So what? Let's wrap it up. Can you put yourself in the story? Are you in the upper room? Jesus is in the upper room. This is his last will and testament, his living legacy. Jesus is telling us, listen, tomorrow night is going to look like we're down by 20 points, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I'm going to my Father, and I'll ask him to send in the reinforcement. I'm going to give you my peace, my shalom, my wholeness, my completeness. Jesus defeats death. The death is swallowed up. The game is won. Let's pray. Remember, we believe and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's all we need to know. Amen. We are sealed, stuck together like glue with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, the identical twin of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we give thanks that you love us, that you sent your Holy Spirit to live in us forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. See you next week. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.